Everyone, welcome to Ending the Drought, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. I'm Jason Webster, here with your other hosts, Jeff Webster and Jake Cranston, and this is Season 4, Episode 2.
Fellas.
Gentlemen, what's happening?
Not much.
It's cool to be back second week in a row.
Yeah.
You know?
And he's right. Not much happening.
Yeah, it is kind of one of those podcasts where you don't have a ton to talk about,
right?
But I think we can fill it out.
Well, that's where you start speculating, right? Like, I mean,
yeah.
No hard facts, no evidence of anything. Haven't heard shit coming out of most GMs or coaches' mouths right now. The combine's behind now. Next major event, of course, is we're just talking about the 27th, is the draft.
Yep, three weeks.
Yep, 3 weeks away. Then things will really take effect, you know? Like, we'll see where the Bills are. I think the Brandon Bean's always said he wishes the draft came first, then he'd know what to do in free agency. So, yeah. I don't think they're done when it comes to free agency. I mean, it's hard to say.
Yeah, there's some moves that could probably happen. I just don't know if they're going to be.
Yeah, there's anything, no obvious answers.
Yeah.
Right.
Anything significant. I mean, the only thing that I could see possibly happening is if Brandon Bean wants to get aggressive and move up in the draft and maybe mess around with trying to trade for a pick and a player type thing, but you got to talk real aggressive, right? Like, let's say he wants to go for D-Hop, right?
Right.
He'd have to move up to number 3 to do that.
Oh, yeah.
With the Cardinals, because that's where they're drafting. So, I mean, can you imagine? Let's talk about like a quick scenario.
Of this year's draft and complete.
Yeah. Like a quick scenario would be, let's say, what if Brandon Bean wanted to jump up to number 3 and get his guy at number 3, whoever that would be, right?
Right.
You would trade for D-Hop in that trade. Imagine what the heck would he have to give up to go to number 3?
A shit ton.
Probably a player. Probably next year's first and a
this
second.
Year's first, next year's first, and maybe so, a second or third.
You'd be at least. You'd be throwing away a couple years probably to get that.
Yeah, because you're not going from 12 to 3. You're going from 27.
To 3, yeah.
To 3.
Yeah, yeah, you're convincing a team to give up expensive. Their first round, essentially.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and that's just, it's tough to say because, I mean, the two most common positions that everybody's been talking about typically are wide receiver and linebacker.
Right.
Because if you're looking at, you know, what we've done so far in free agency, we've addressed offensive line, we've addressed safety, we've even addressed wide receiver. We haven't touched linebacker yet. We haven't done anything in linebacker.
Which is rough because we need it so very badly.
Yeah. Well, they keep talking about Terrell Dodson, and I mean, obviously, significant drop-off from where they were with Tremaine Edmonds. There's just no doubt about it. It's just, it's the way it is. He's not Tremaine Edmonds, and I can't believe that's going to be the plan going forward.
It can't
be. For an entire season, not when you're still hopefully, you know, taking a shot at a Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, it's just the drop-off is too significant from Tremaine Edmonds to go to Terrell Dodson or Terrell Bernard because it's just, I mean, If you think that they want to sit there and be okay with one of those two guys, I can't buy that because that's such a huge portion of that defense. I mean, Sean McDermott came out and he said he's calling the plays for the defense this year.
Right.
So he is the D coordinator. So he's running his defense, which that's what they ran in Carolina. What was their major major player factor on that defense was Luke Kuechly, man,
that linebacker.
So you think he wants to go in to this season with kind of two guys that really have no weight?
It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Yeah. And that's where I was saying they may not be done even in free agency because even if they're going to draft a guy, everything I've gathered so far about the draft seems to be that it's not a super strong draft for linebacker. Some of the guys are actually weak side guys, not so much middle linebackers. So they keep mentioning Jack Campbell. He keeps coming up. I know on Pro Football Focus's mock draft, he's somewhere in the mid-40s, early 40s, somewhere in there. So that's middle of the second round. But I got a feeling the class is pretty weak. Anybody needing a linebacker is probably going to take him before that because he's big. He's like 245. Real close to actually Tremaine Edmonds.
Yeah, there's two guys. And you're absolutely correct. Jack Campbell, and he's the guy that I really, really like.
Me too.
But there's also, don't forget, and he's been mocked to the Bills a bunch, and that's Drew Sanders from Arkansas.
Right.
He's also 6'5", 235, so he's...
Yeah, another big
same,
guy.
Yep, same type of build, same type of, you know, length. He played in a similar defense like the Bills run now, so...
Right.
There's two guys right there that I think I've seen that have been mocked yeah. mostly to the Bills is Jack Campbell and Drew Sanders. Now, there's the other guy, and
Henley, is it, or something like that? Is it
the kid from Clemson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a smaller guy.
You're right. Right.
Fast.
Yes.
You know, more like probably Matt Milano type.
Correct.
So
there's like those three are like the most common. And like you said, the linebacker draft this year isn't real deep. I mean, there's probably 3 to 5 guys that you're gonna see go
that may first make an impact second. Yeah,
yeah,
this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's really weird because I don't know if Brandon Bean would take a chance. I mean, you know how these drafts go, right?
Yeah,
he's picking at 27.
Correct.
So if he's thinking that, and even at guard, they could make a move on the offensive line. That's not a given.
At 27, you're saying?
Yeah, because yeah. McGovern, they're still saying that was one of the worst free agent moves. And I don't get it. I mean, I really don't. Not from everything I've kind of read.
Right.
But it's Pro Football Focus, and they're right to their opinion or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think it was just a money thing. You know, they're paying him $6, $7 million or whatever. It's a lot of money for a guy that maybe hasn't really shown everything yet. Still a young guy. I think he's 25. But
yeah.
But that being said, you know, maybe they're looking at second or third round for that guy too, that guard. But taking a chance on a couple of those linebackers going before Brandon Bean can even take one at 27, all of a sudden the Bills are, I mean, either then after that you're looking at a trade or maybe a free agent after the draft kind of a thing. So I'm not sure they would risk that. They might make a move prior to that just for a veteran. Because that's my issue with Terrell Dodson, doesn't have a lot of play experience as a starter. And Bernard's probably going to be fine long term. But right. again, not a lot of starting experience. So
Where are they projecting these guys to go? Do they have anything yet?
Well, I think the one you had mentioned is probably the first guy off the board, they're saying.
Drew Sanders?
Yeah.
Right.
Is it? Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he could probably go as I don't know, 15 maybe could
right,
be his
yeah.
his like first landing spot possibly.
Yep.
But I mean,
so we would have to move up, not significantly, right.
And
but
Campbell
a little bit.
Would probably right. be available at 27 from what I'm seeing. They're yep. saying he should be available, but again, you don't know. Somebody at 25 could go, hey, you know, the guy we really really wanted is gone. Our B plan was a linebacker.
Well, yeah, so the other guy that you talked about first, he could go at 14. They could panic and take the other guy at 17 or 18. You
right,
don't know what's going to
happen. The guy's not there. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's pretty risky when you've got such a soft class in a particular position. So I don't know.
And we have very, very specific needs. Whereas, you know, I think we all remember certain draft years where we went in and went, we could use fucking everything.
Like,
we don't really. Oh, yeah. have a specific target necessarily.
Right, and they always talk about best player available, but there's also position value, like some positions are more valuable than others to a team because they can, you know, skill position players, quarterbacks, obviously, wide receivers, running backs, something like that. So they do put place different value on positions. Cornerback is a very important one. But not only that, you know, I think they talk like they're happy where they are because they don't want to tip anybody off to what they're really thinking about. You know, every team in the league is going to do that. Yeah, so I think it would be a bit of a risk to go into the draft without having a backup plan, at least, you know, and maybe that's a veteran, even if it's a 33-year-old veteran or somebody that, you know, that can at least take some of the percentage of snaps in
right.
and then play Bernard and Dodson around that or something. They have to have a plan. And Brandon Beans doesn't appear to be the kind of guy that doesn't have a plan.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he does. And I think everything can be cyclical too. Like, you know, 2018 we moved moved up to get Trey Edmonds. So, you know, they really wanted to get, you know, that middle linebacker coach of the defense, or quarterback of the defense, I should say, you know, for years. And we had it, and obviously we couldn't pay him, but
right,
you know, it's a very high possibility that we move that way. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Brandon Bean, because he didn't last draft, he sat, he didn't do anything.
Right.
You know, he stayed where he needed to. He got Kyrie Elam.
But they went out and got the big free agent in Von Miller too.
Yes.
You know, so maybe that had an impact on the draft, possibly.
I'm a bit surprised, honestly, because you would feel like Brandon Bean would have typically known, or him and McDermott would have kind of known that, hey, we don't think we're going to be able to bring back Tremaine Edmonds this year or next year. You know, I'm surprised, and I'm not going to sit here and I can't remember exactly who went in the draft, but even looking at, you know, drafting someone last year, and I can't.
Oh, I see.
You know, I mean, Bernard, I know.
He was late, right? You know, third round.
Yeah.
Round guy.
And I just, he couldn't have, there's no way that he would have been the replacement for Tremaine Edmonds, not his size and not his style. So
right, but I understand the necessity for the cornerback, right? You got, hopefully, Trey White coming back healthy, because at that point, you don't know, right? He obviously didn't play till Thanksgiving. He got injured on Thanksgiving. He didn't play until right around Thanksgiving, you know, coming back. So so that was definitely a big priority. Dane Jackson filled in and did a good job, but I think that was number one priority last year's draft, was we need a cornerback, and we really do got to go that way.
Yep.
And especially since there wasn't, in their opinion, obviously, a cornerback in free agency that would do the job. And then second round was James Cook, which was maybe more of a luxury pick. Everybody said that because they had Singletary. But again, like you suggested, maybe having that guy there in case you can't re-sign Devin Singletary, or basically don't want to. Now you've got James Cook, who at least has some experience, and you got a fair idea what he's capable of, because he did get to play. So now that linebacker, maybe we got to have him, maybe we don't, depending on what we can do for Tremaine Edmonds. Like, I'm sure they had no idea. I'm sure they knew he would sign a significant contract. I don't think they thought he would be the highest paid linebacker in the NFL.
Yeah, that's hard to say, right?
I mean, I don't think they saw that coming necessarily.
No, I don't think anybody saw it coming. Maybe Tremaine Edmonds did, but I certainly didn't see it coming. But it's, you know, it's, and kind of going back to what you were saying earlier, as far as, you know, it's hard to say what they're going to draft. They may be throwing smoke screens, who knows? Yep. But I think it's pretty evident. And I think, like, the last couple drafts, we were able to kind of pinpoint which position they were going to draft. We just didn't know, obviously, which player they're going to draft. Like, we all knew they're going to draft corner.
Yeah, remember we were talking about different corners that they potentially could draft. And Kyrie Love was the one that really didn't come up.
Yeah, we knew corner was going to be probably the draft pick last year. I think this year, it's between wide receiver and linebacker. That's pretty much the two type. Now, I know offensive line, you know, guard is another position that's been thrown around a little bit, but I think they made those moves in free agency kind of wanting to solidify it in that sense already. So I really think it's down to wide receiver and linebacker, and it's going to be probably the best player available at that point.
Yeah. The funny thing is, I seen a mock draft, I actually think maybe even more than one, where the Bills were trading with Seattle to move up to 20 to get a more impactful player.
Yeah.
My issue was they didn't really have a definitive target, you know, for the Bills to pick. Like, it wasn't, we're going to move up to get a wide receiver, we're going to move up to get the linebacker. There was nothing specific there. They did give the Bills a player, but it was like, maybe they'll move up to 20 to get one of these guys, so we're giving them this guy.
Yes.
You know, I mean, like, so I don't know, with only six picks, and I think the pick they don't have is seventh round, I believe. So, you know, I don't know if you could even make that move logically. If the only way you would do it is if that guy that you have to have, that guy is available at 20, where you maybe negotiate with the Seattle Seahawks and go, hey, if your guy's not available at 20 and you want some extra picks, if our guy's there, we would like to move up, and here's what we're willing to give you.
Yep.
But even seven places in the draft is going to be fairly costly, like probably one or two picks this year and probably a pretty good pick next year.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, even seven positions at the end of the first round, it can be pretty expensive.
Yeah, and like, where are we at now, right? Like, are the Bills, are they at the point where, I know Brandon Bean always says, like, hey, we want to always be building and, you know, and
right.
we'll reload.
Making the team
and
better, yeah.
But we're, you know, we want to have good talent. You know, he wants a balance. I get that. But don't you think they got to start looking at the window we're in right now? I mean, we lost in the AFC Championship game. You know, we lost in the divisional
twice.
You know, twice. Now it's like, okay, Josh Allen's, you know, he's going to be 6 years in the league.
Right.
He plays with more of a reckless abandon. So, you know, who knows?
Come up a lot this offseason.
Yeah.
By
so,
the way.
So like, you don't know how long he's going to be able to play at his peak level.
Right.
It's like, do you care so much about the draft now, or do you want to bring guys in and win now?
Well, and I get it. I get the philosophy, right? We want to be competitive every year. We don't want to sacrifice the future for today. But it's hard not to look at the Rams, who with OBJ and Von Miller, they walked away with a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, man, they didn't make it back. It's like, yeah, well, who fucking cares?
Well, yeah, they sacrificed.
They have a Super Bowl. Yeah, they have a Super Bowl.
They sacrificed their future. The Jets are obviously doing it right now.
Right.
And I'll be goddamned if the Jets freaking get farther than
Bowl,
we
are. Yeah.
Well, even if they get there before us.
Right.
Like, come on, man.
Well, you know? I would argue, by the way, that there is a chance that you get to a certain point where you can't even do that anymore.
Right.
Where if you wanted to gamble away your future and get a couple of good picks, it still wouldn't be enough.
That's what
look at where New England was the past couple of years. Like, you know, look at where they are now. Maybe better. Maybe.
Well, they were they were just crazy fortunate. They had a plan. They had obviously a great quarterback and a super defense, man. That was basically their whole MO for 20 years was we're going to have a high-end defense and we have a great quarterback, you know, and a great play caller in Bill Belichick, man. I still say as a play caller, he's fine. And as a coach, he's great.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he's a great GM. Like a sixth round quarterback turns into Tom Brady. That's just stupid luck to me. That's not like, hey, that guy's going to be a Hall of Famer. Let's wait till the sixth round to get him.
And they could throw it all away in this draft, and there's a chance they still wouldn't make the playoffs. And
right.
That's where we could be if we lose
Josh. They're
going
to be the weakest team again in the AFC. Well,
plus, Belichick's starting to lean back on his other coaches again now. You know, he brought back Bill O'Brien for his, you know, he's going to be the old coordinator. Who was their offense coordinator kind of this past year.
I know.
He's going to be, you know, he's kind of going back and leaning on those guys. But I guess the question I have is, like, when are the Bills going to go all in?
Correct.
Like, when are we not? Because we're so right there. And the thing is like, Stephon Diggs, all this chatter this whole offseason has been not great about him wanting to stay on this team. And it's just like, you see the Dolphins, you know, they're bringing in all these big time players. They just added Jalen Ramsey, and like, you know, the Jets are doing what they're doing. And all of a sudden it's like, when do we go all in here?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. We made a great move in Von Miller. And I think had he stayed healthy, we probably would at least got past the divisional round. I truly think that, but just because he's healthy or will be this year, doesn't mean that he will stay healthy the whole season or Josh Allen will stay healthy. But yeah, I personally don't think you can have enough offensive weapons ever. Like, and I get it. D-Hop could be expensive. Now there's some teams that are thinking he's going to be cut, you know, maybe with a June 1st designation, because it would clear a lot of cap space for Arizona. And I don't think there's any dead cap for him if they wait till after June 1st.
Right.
And then if he's cut, you can negotiate whatever as a team. So the Bills could sign him for 1 year.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
I don't know if he'd be willing to come to the Bills or Kansas City for a veteran minimum. I mean, that's like $1 million. But maybe $7 to $10 million for a shot at a Super Bowl. I mean, where he's been, he hasn't really had a good shot at a Super Bowl.
No, no.
So maybe that matters to him, but you know, especially at his age now.
There's guys out there that we could have pulled, you know, we could have pulled to make a move for to bring into this roster that
it still could
would have been a little more of a game changer than what we did. And I get, you know, the cap room and this and that and blah blah blah.
But for sure,
it's just, you know, what we have on our offense right now with Josh and Diggs and you know, Knox, and you know, we're starting to add a little bit better offensive line, younger. It's just if we can just add a little more firepower. Now, if you can go into the draft and you can get, I don't know, Jeff, maybe Quentin Johnston from TCU, right?
Yeah, that'd be
now cool. he's a big what, 6'2", 6'3".
Yep.
He's a big receiver. He's a guy that we kind of don't have on this offense. And right. he's explosive. He led college football with, I think, the most you know, yards after catch in college football.
Right.
You know, so there's certain guys like Jordan Addison from USC. He was, I think he had us at a, wow, that's a loud siren.
Yeah, I got the window open.
Got the window open.
Oh, yeah.
A little so, over well, there.
You know, you think you're going to get away with it, and then you do it, right. And you're like, oh, I remember why we keep the shit shut.
Yeah.
That's hilarious, too, because it like always happens when it we're does. Doing a podcast.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
so weird.
It is strange.
Anyways, but.
But yeah, but, there's, like you said, there's guys that are available. I mean, in the wide receivers, to me, it's funny because I don't think there's that 1A guy out there, you know, that prime choice, prime cut kind of guy. Chase. I don't think there's a Jamar Chase necessarily in the draft this year.
Not but, to that level, but.
But there's a couple really there's, good there's wide
one,
receivers.
There's one that's is going to go in top 10, I bet you. Which is going to be Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Yeah.
He's going to go, he'll go top. And
Jigba 10. Will go way earlier than the Bills could afford to go.
Yeah, him. There's not a chance to be able to
there's
get
there's somebody else, too, I think, that will probably go in a top 15. And I don't think the Bills have the chops to get there. I really
yeah,
don't.
I think Jordan Addison probably be the next receiver off the board. Quentin Johnston has I think we have the best shot at getting him at 27 if we stay put.
Right.
But,
you know, another guy who's not big, but that Zay Flowers, man.
Yes, that's another guy I was gonna also mention. He could be a good addition. Now the thing that you got to look at is type of player you're drafting as well.
Right.
Though Zay Flowers is
more of
a smaller slot guy, kind of like Hardy that we just picked up in free agency.
Well, he's like McKenzie too.
Yeah, same type of guy.
Mean, same.
Yep.
But I think faster and better. That's the difference.
Yes, he do it way better, way better.
Yeah.
But according to the Bills wire, I was looking through today, actually, the Bills had some private visits with some draft prospects. And if you didn't see, they had a wide receiver in there that I know of him, but I don't know a lot about him. Nathaniel Dell from Houston. Oh,
yeah. Tank Dell. Yeah.
Yep.
They talked about him before.
He's a speedster. He's solid. I just don't know a whole lot about him. They also had in Osiris Torrance, the guard from Florida.
Which I still think is a possibility.
I also do, too. Then they had a private workout with Tyjae Spears. He's a running back from Tulane.
I know. I've seen him play.
And
yeah.
He seems like, who knows? And then they also had a virtual meeting with, his name's Juice Scruggs, the center from Penn State.
Right.
So there's so that kind of gives you an idea that they're really looking at offense right now. You know what I mean?
The thing to look at is the Senior Bowl.
Yes.
They seem to pull guys from the Senior Bowl quite a bit.
They like Senior Bowl guys.
Yeah, they do. McDermott. And they like guys who slide in the combine, too.
Yeah.
Guys that come in that underperform. And I think one of the wide receivers you mentioned kind of did that. Like, the opposite of that is that Jalen Hyatt.
Right.
He actually was the best wide receiver in the combine.
And I told you a while back, remember, I was big on him because that dude, he torched, absolutely torched Alabama.
Yep.
You know, and Alabama's got, what, another 5-6 pros coming out, 4 of them off defense.
Yeah.
You know, they got an all-pro safety.
Didn't he do real good maybe against Georgia or somebody else too?
Yeah.
There's a couple of games, big.
He flies. He's a fast. But the one thing that he gets knocked on is his route running. They say he's only a vertical wide receiver, but he feels that he has the route tree in his basket. So,
well, and the Bills have never worried about anything like that.
Yeah, it's the same thing that we talked about when we got Josh, right? Like, yeah, he's technically not perfect, but you go for stats, right?
Right,
right.
They build this team like you build a Madden team, you know, like working out after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're looking for they're looking for ceilings, not floors. There are wide receivers who are going to be just a perfect steady floor, offensive linemen. Yeah, they're not going to wow you. They're not Pro Bowlers, but they're going to be there every week doing their jobs, getting it done.
Yeah.
You know, but a lot of times what the Bills are looking for is that diamond in the rough for that one guy, and they've done it. You know, Matt Milano was one of those guys. The potential, you know, that they saw. I also seen the name of I think it was a guard or center that had been injured too. You know, that's another thing they tend to lean towards, is a guy that maybe, I'll tell you who one of the receivers was. His name is Tillman. I'm trying to remember where he went to school.
Okay.
Might have been Clemson or.
Yeah, I think I know you're talking about.
Somewhere like that. But, and he led the team in 20 and 21, and then he got injured in 22.
Right.
And actually another wide receiver who's in the draft this year.
Yeah.
Moved up because of that. And it might even been Jalen Hyatt. But anyway, so yeah, he got injured. When he did come back, he came back early. You know, played through some of the pain and stuff like that. Evaluators like shit like that. You know, you're giving it up for the team kind of a deal. And you can probably get him a little later in the draft because of the injury.
Yeah. Now, do they do that too much, though? Do they look for the diamond in the rough too much? Because I feel like they've hit on guys, diamond in the rough, but sometimes it feels like it can kind of turn around and it can bite them too. You know, when do you just go after those top guys? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's that athleticism thing, right? Where we can make AJ Epenesa has all the natural athleticism. We can teach him to be a better player.
Right.
Excuse me. Ed Oliver, same thing. Ed Oliver has all the raw tools and athleticism in the world. He needs some work, but we can do that. And sometimes, like you said, it works.
Yeah.
Other times it doesn't. You end up putting 3 years into a guy and you got nothing when you're done.
And that's kind of what has been happening.
Yeah, it is frustrating from my perspective. And, you know, I have a different perspective than you guys. I'm really more of just a fan than a stats guy. But watching, you know, all these guys that they talk about with all this promise, like Gabe Davis, Isaiah McKenzie, you know, like all these guys were picking up left and right. And, you know, maybe even James Cook. Who knows? Maybe he'll be just like them, where it's like a hit or miss kind of guy. And it's very rough to have all the offensive weapons in the world, and you're just basically dealing a deck of cards every game because they might be shit today.
Well, and we talked about that. The wide receiver coach left. Was that his idea or was that the Bill's idea?
Right.
Because here you got Isaiah Hodgins, who goes to the Giants. Blows and it looks up. Like he was a second-round pick. You know, you got Gabe Davis with all the promise in the world, and he's catching half the balls that are thrown in his direction.
Yeah, like, who's taking shit for that, right?
Right.
Because, I mean, you let Isaiah Hodgins go, and he played a game for us and looked solid, but it was one game. I get it.
Right.
But it's not like we got Gabe Davis in the fourth round, and then we drafted Isaiah Hodgins in the fifth.
Right.
So it's not like a huge difference, but he goes to the Giants with Dabes, and he looked great. He looks really good. I mean,
solid.
He wasn't dropping passes.
He's a solid number two for a half a dozen games, whatever it was.
Right. So who takes shit for that? Because now you had the same type of situation, quote unquote, with Wyatt Teller when we let his ass go.
Yep.
And he goes to the Brown and becomes an all-pro guard. So it's like, who's taking shit for some of these misses, right?
Obviously, every team is susceptible to something like that.
Yeah.
It's probably not that unique, but at the same time, it obviously is a problem because you've invested so much in that fourth round pick,
right?
You know, that you're going to have to pay him. Like, this is it. I think this is his final year
of
his rookie deal. So it's either he's going to be here and you're going to pay him, or he's going to walk, and there you go. Here's another major investment in a player. He's been the number two guy for an entire season.
I know.
And where are you at?
I'm going to be pissed if fucking Zach Moss goes off for the Colts or some shit.
Dude, he didn't look bad in the few games he played.
I know. But, you know, can you imagine, though? You know, it's just, then you're going to start kind of head scratching, being like, okay, Like, why is this happening?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Well, that's what playoff failure will bring you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, again, it's being critical of a team that won 13 games and made it to the divisional round in the playoffs, right? So there's only a handful of teams that even made it that far. What is it, eight teams make it to a divisional round or right. something like that? So out yeah. of 32 teams, it's hard to be super critical, but at the same time, it's easy to get frustrated when you're a Bills fan and you haven't sniffed the playoffs for two decades.
But you do have to think about the fact, too, that we're in a similar situation, at least up until this year, that we were back in the 90s, where we had a really weak division to deal with.
Right.
Like, that gave us a huge leg up.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to shit on the Bills. They're obviously a fantastic team, and right. they're getting slept on right now. But now our divisional opponents are going to be stronger. So it's going to be on us to be even better than we were last year by a significant margin. And I don't know if we're there. I really don't.
It makes you wonder.
It just feels like we're losing more than we're gaining year over year.
I'll tell you, if it gets to the point where Jim Kelly, your Hall of Fame quarterback, says, come on, guys, you know, I had a Hall of Fame wide receiver. I had a Hall of Fame running back. We had a Hall of Famer on the offensive line. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We had Hall of Famers on defense. Like, it's time, like you said, maybe it's time to go all in.
I think so. And Jim Kelly came out and said he thinks the Bills need a premier running back on this offense.
I heard that,
which too. Is like, okay, Jim, like we're not going to go get a Thurman Thomas for Josh Allen. That's not going to happen.
Could we use a guy
that's maybe a tier up or so? Sure. But you also have to have a good offensive line. And we did not have that whatsoever.
Yep.
That plays a big part in it. I'm not going to disagree with him totally, but I'm not going to agree with him totally either. I'm kind of in the middle on that. Like if the Bills all of a sudden were like, listen, we're sitting at 27 and somehow, some way, Bijan Robinson's there to draft. Like, if they draft him at 27, would I be mad or happy? I don't know, dude. I would probably be right in the middle and be like,
yep,
I don't know.
Well, like, here's what matters, right? We don't need to have a Hall of Fame running back, and I don't think many teams do anymore.
Right.
But we need to have a running back on our roster that when it's third and five, there's a small chance we might actually run. You know what I mean? Just to give that little bit of questioning on the other team's mind of what we're going to actually do.
Yeah, there are teams that do that. On even a third and four, third and five, even occasionally a third and six or whatever.
But just put it in the back of their mind that once in a while we may actually fucking run the ball.
Right. Yeah, the 1-2 punch.
That's true.
We don't really have the 1-2 punch.
No,
we have not the one punch and then Josh.
Right.
Like Josh, well, it's like
may be the 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
It might be.
Josh is the 1-2 punch.
Yeah. Right.
For real. So we don't have Josh and then that back. That's the other punch. You know what I mean?
But the weird thing is, if you lose your running back, you've lost your two punch. If you lose your quarterback, you lost your one punch. If we lose our quarterback, we've lost our 1-2 punch.
100%.
What do we do?
Right.
Are we going to just run the ball down their throat? Because we don't have a running back to do that.
No.
I love James Cook. He's not going to run between the tackles 25 or 30 times a game.
Nope.
You'll freaking kill him.
Yeah. Now, Harris that we just picked up from
Damien Harris
from
can
the past.
Do that, but can he do it for 25, 30 carries
a game? Yeah, he's more of a split back. He needs help.
Yeah.
Right. He's going to be you know, he's a bigger back, so,
right.
You know, everybody's saying, oh, we need to get that bigger back. So we got him. Now, he's not this, like, bruiser,
right.
But he's harder to bring down with speed. So we don't know yet how that punch is going to go with him.
Right.
I mean, who knows? Maybe James Cook explodes off the scene this year. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. And I still would be crazy surprised, even at 27. I would see them more likely, if Robinson was there, trading back. Because some other team is willing to take a chance.
I think Dallas takes them at 25.
I think that's a real good chance.
You know?
Also, you got to look at Philadelphia's at, 20?
Yep.
They moved on from Sanders. So what's their plan at running back?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think there's definitely some teams that are more apt to take Bijan Robinson. But, yeah, I just it's tough to say what Brandon Bean's going to do in this draft, but I mean, I think coming from a fan perspective, obviously that's what we're doing here, but at this point it's like, let's throw more eggs into this basket than we've been doing. I You know, yeah. I think it's time to try to really load this thing up and really go after it.
And even in free agency still.
Yeah.
You know, well, if you can afford to do that.
And we don't have a ton of time left on our podcast here, but to put you guys on the spot a little bit, you know, you're the experts, right? What is that put all your eggs in one basket guy? Who's the one that you go after? Do you have anybody in mind?
Well, I mean, in this draft, if I had all the capital to do it, I would go after my guy would be, and I hate to say it because he's from Ohio State and I'm a Michigan guy.
Yeah.
But I would go after Jackson Smith and Jigba. He's the guy. He is so polished that he could come in day one on our offense and be ginormous. Like you're talking, like if you try to shut down Diggs, he would just step up and he'd be your second punch in this offense right off the bat. Right off the bat, there would be no gap. I mean, that's how good he is.
Yep.
But they just did have to give up so much to do that.
Yeah, and that's the question, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to remember, wasn't it Dallas that, like, for 10 consecutive years didn't have a first-round draft pick because they kept trading them away in, like, free agency or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They just and it was to stack the team with talent. That's what they were trying to do.
Yep.
Problem with free agency is it gets to be very expensive. What you're talking about is sacrificing draft capital, but in my way of thinking, if I were the GM, I would try to do something very similar to that, only because if you look at every draft the Bills have had since Brandon Bean got there, there's going to be misses. It's not 100% accurate. With free agency, you know what you got, and that's why people are willing to spend the money. So if he feels that by giving up a couple of picks this year, maybe like our first and even our second this year and a first next year, and can get that guy,
yeah,
I would say it's worth it.
I do too.
Because the only option is to go after DeAndre Hopkins, who was injured last year. He's 31, I think, now, maybe somewhere around there.
Yep.
Or older. That, you know, you don't know how much time you got. I do know this. You have probably the best wide receiver pair in the NFL if you're able to get him.
Yeah, and he's...
There's no doubt.
And Jason, Garrett Wilson was drafted by the Jets last year. He was the best wide receiver in that draft, and he goes to the Jets from Ohio State. Jackson Smith and Jigba was way better than him, but he got hurt. So he had like 1,600 yards receiving that last year, but he got hurt, and Garrett Wilson came off of like 1,100 yards or 1,000. Which is still super good, but Jackson Smith and Jimbo was like 500-600 yards ahead of him, and he was hurt. And it's, you know, so like this kid,
you're talking generational talent,
could be just a ginormous explosion. Yeah, and the thing is, it's like you go and get a kid like that, and you're also like you're grabbing a guy that, if for some freaking crazy reason Stephon Diggs is like, screw this, I want out of here. Now you got still, your next guy to step up,
your number one, potentially.
But
it did feel like that could have happened this year. It was a very scary time.
Yeah. He was not happy.
No doubt.
He made it known. And the one question I want to ask you guys about that too is, when we lost to Cincinnati in the divisional, and Diggs was kind of getting in Josh's face, throwing his arms up and yelling at him like, what are you doing? Josh didn't look at him. He didn't say nothing. He knew that was happening, obviously.
Yep.
Is Josh the type of guy behind closed doors saying something to Diggs like, listen, dude, don't ever do that again?
I don't think so. I very strongly don't think so. And the reason why is because I feel like Josh carries the weight of our team more than most quarterbacks do. I think he's got such a small amount of ego compared to a lot of guys, even at the level of pay that he's at now. He's still just a very humble person. So I think that almost anybody on that team could have looked at him for the blame for what happened in that game, and I think he would have just taken it. Take it on the chin and say, you know, yes, I blame me too, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I fucking sucked.
Yeah, I could see. I think it would be
and
more.
And it's also the, I'm sorry, I just want to finish.
No, that's cool.
It's also the mental fatigue after everything that happened that year. All the pressure and what happened with DeMar Hamlin. Like, I mean, I could totally feel like, as a person, that it got to me. And I blame myself for it, but it is what it is.
Well, and I think that's an extremely good point. And others have brought it up. I think nationally, everybody just kind of brushes it aside. Like, you should still be able to overcome that. But if you remember, Diggs was the one that went to the hospital with DeMar Hamlin. Like, he was there. He stayed. Like, I think they either had to force him to get on the plane or he took a later flight. So, yeah, Diggs was definitely emotionally wrapped up in that whole thing. Trey White was visibly shaken even the following couple of games after that, before the Cincinnati game. He was talking about how devastating that was for him. And you know it was on everybody's mind. And now they're going out and they're playing and it's
well, and as much cold as you like,
and, you know.
And as much as you like to pretend that Josh is a superhuman in every way just because he's great at football, we watched him on that bench during that game when DeMar Hamlin went down. And he just shut down.
Yeah,
and we watched him against Cincinnati and he just shut down.
Yeah.
And I wonder if his emotional capacity, you know, the ceiling of it is a little bit lower than some other guys. Maybe he's just a sensitive dude.
And
you
I
know,
think like, that's,
and that's,
well, yeah,
that's fine.
That's a conversation he would have.
That definitely, and that could be maybe the just the way he deals with emotion or certain things. But I'm trying to sit here and think, man, the pressure, I don't think anybody realizes, like, really, really, if you sit here and think about the enormous pressure Josh is under. Day in and day out.
I mean, I don't blame him for it, even if that was the case. I really don't.
He plays, I mean, he arguably plays on, like, the most, one of the most, like, fouled sports team in America, you know, across the board, like, football, baseball, basketball, hockey, whatever, you know? And we're constantly, as fans, like, Josh, like, like, you know, and he knows how big he is to this community. I mean, and when you come into a community like this, right, like, you're, and if you're a guy like Josh, like, which we haven't had since Jim Kelly,
right,
I mean, we embraced him hard, and he knows, like, holy shit, like I am, like, the next real big thing here, and that's got to be huge pressure.
Well, when he talks about it that way, he says, you know, the people of this city deserve a Super Bowl. He doesn't say, I'm a great player, I deserve to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
He never says that. He talks about the team and the coaches and the mafia and the, you know, and the community, what they've gone through. The shooting, you know, at that top supermarket. Now you got all the alumni coming back and they're handing out food and they've got that emotion of dealing with that.
Yeah.
You know, like the entire year last year was just a stomach turner.
And the storms, you know, there was a lot.
The blizzards, there was just, I don't know. It's just like I say, it was more like just stomach churning, you know, upset stomach whole time.
Yeah.
Like, whole time. You don't know whether to cry, laugh, or just throw in the towel.
Right.
Man.
And to add on to all of that, to add another layer on this complicated thing that he's dealing with, is that he's not, you know, the starry-eyed kid coming off of the Cabbage Patch anymore. You know what I mean? Like, he's a dude who's on every commercial on TV practically now. Like, he's got to feel the weight of the expectation of, you are getting paid a shitload of money from a shitload of people to do one thing and you're not doing it. Like, you know, like that, I think.
Well, that's the national opinion, is they're asking him to do too much. They need to get him help.
Well, and especially, like, the offensive line and shit, man. Like, you know, like, on the field is where he's getting hurt.
Like, yeah, well, they talk about, even when they try to rate the offensive line, they can't because he fucking bails them out half the time. Like, I don't even know, we know how poor our offensive line has been the last few years because he will turn a play where 95% of the quarterbacks throw it into the stands, and he's falling out of bounds throwing it for a touchdown.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that doesn't show up on a stat sheet.
Right. Nope. He's got to do a lot. And the thing is like, Micah Hyde even said it a little while back. He's like, this isn't the Josh Allen show here. Like, it's
right.
Like, he's like, we on this team all have to take a brunt of what is going wrong or what has gone wrong with us, you know, not moving forward in the playoffs.
The 111th, right?
It's not just Josh Allen, you know. There's a lot of other factors involved. But like Jay said, you know, the guy takes it on the shoulders no matter what, you know. And the thing is like, I would hope, but Jason's probably right, but I would hope at least Josh would have a conversation with Diggs and be like, look, man.
I think
like,
he would.
We got to be on the same page here. You can't be yelling at me you know, well, on national TV like that, dude. Like,
if he did have that conversation, I don't think it was that day.
Well, no. I think it would be more along the lines of, dude, you have to know I am trying to do everything I possibly can to win.
Oh, God.
I want to win just as much as you do, would never do that to you.
Who do you think is more competitive than Josh Allen?
Absolutely.
You kidding me?
Absolutely.
Well, probably Diggs.
Well, yeah. I mean, dude, it's just
they're on the same level, I think, in that regard. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, if Diggs is the thing, if you're trying to get in Diggs' head right now and think, like, what is he thinking? Like, why would he be upset with this team? And it might be for some reasons we don't even know, we don't hear, but I mean, obviously what's in front of us is we keep losing at a certain point, and we can't get beyond that. So,
well, what he said was, you work all off season, you work every week in practice on the weekends, and you struggle and you strive to get to the playoffs. Now you're in the playoffs. You now have an opportunity that not a lot of teams have to get to a Super Bowl.
And you sit on your hands.
And you just fall down.
Right.
Like, you know, and he said, if anybody wants me to be just accept losing, never going to happen.
Dude.
I can never accept losing.
No.
I just can't.
And I don't think that our fan base, you know, Bills Mafia would want Diggs to be okay with losing. I don't think anybody on that team is okay with losing.
Nope.
So, I don't understand kind of where he's coming from in that aspect. I mean, I know he's an ultra competitive guy. He wants to win. It's just this entire coaching staff, this entire team wants the same type of thing.
Yeah.
So I just don't think he should try to alienate any of this at all.
I'm with you. Like, it's one thing. I mean, he obviously wears his emotions on his sleeve. He's watching Kansas City celebrate a championship. That sucked for him.
Yep.
But the coach has to come get him off the field. DeMar Hamlin thing, you know, he's at the hospital. He's like, he puts himself in these highly stressful situations and then kind of bathes in them.
Yep.
And I think it just gets in under his skin.
Oh, yeah.
And he can't think of anything else. And he blew up at Josh, even though he probably was blowing up at himself.
Oh, yeah,
More than that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But it was, I'm sure, the whole situation of we're here, we're getting our asses kicked in our own fucking building, man. We've been working to have a home playoff game, really, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to put up 10 points.
Yeah.
You know, so I get the frustration. He's probably frustrated with the coaches, like the team, you know, frustrated to the injuries to Von Miller and all the stuff that led to them not winning.
Yep.
And, I certainly get to it. But you got to remember, you're one piece of an entire puzzle.
Yep.
Don't make it like you're the whole puzzle.
Yeah, he should have kept it bottled up until he got off the field. But, I mean, like,
for sure.
You know, if I were Josh, I wouldn't look at that as, like, a moment where I have to assert dominance or, like, put him in his place. It would just be like, I fucking get it. It sucks. Let's move on.
Try to understand the situation.
Just worry about next year now.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, 100%. So, yeah, anything else, fellas? I think we're good, man. We're at that point, huh?
I think so, too.
All right. Well, as usual, why don't you tell them how to listen to the podcast, Jay?
Yeah, you can find us on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, at ETD Buffalo. And you can listen to us wherever you like to get your podcasts. We're on Anchor, which is now Spotify Podcast. That's where we primarily host it.
Cool.
Beautiful.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. As we get into next week, we're going to be another week closer to the draft, so we're going to dig in a little more and probably should talk about maybe getting another draft guest on.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good one.
Yeah, I think we should do that.
It's always like an annual thing for us, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So we'll probably look at doing something like that, but thanks for listening, everybody, and just want to end it with, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Go Bills!
Go Bills! Bills.